A brand new side panel van, its engine still ticking, cooling off, stood parked at the far side of the loading dock, next to a 5-foot-high stone abutment, where trucks would once have backed up to load and unload goods. A sign hanging by one hinge over the van read, "Sumner's Textiles Manufacturing." I approached the van slowly, my blasting rod held loosely at my side. I swept the tuning fork and my eyes around the shadowed chamber. The fork hummed every time it swept past the van. The white van all but glowed in the half-light. Its windows had been tinted, and I couldn't see inside of them, even when I came within 10 feet or so. Something, some sound or other cue I hadn't quite caught on the conscious level, made the hair on the back of my neck prickle up. I spun to face the darkness behind me, the tip of my blasting rod rising up, my bruised fingers wrapping tight around its shaft. I focused my senses on the darkness and listened, honing my attention to the area around me. Darkness. Drip of water. Creak of building above me. Nothing. I put the tuning fork in my duster pocket. Then I turned back to the van, closed the distance quickly, and hauled open the side door, leveling my rod on the inside. A blanket-wrapped bundle, approximately Lydia-sized, lay inside the van. One pale hand lay limp outside of it, my talisman, scorched-looking and blood-stained, wrapped around the slender wrist. My heart leapt into my throat. "Lydia," I asked. I reached out and touched her wrist, felt the dull, slow throb of pulse. I let out a breath of relief and pulled the blankets from her pale face. Her eyes were open, staring. The pupils dilated until there was barely any color left in them at all. I waved my hand in front of her eyes and said again, "Lydia." She didn't respond. Drugged, I thought. What the hell was she doing here? Laying in a van, covered up with blankets, drugged and placed as neatly as could be. It didn't make sense. Unless she was a distraction. The bait for a trap. I turned. But before I got halfway around, that cold energy I felt the night before flooded over the side of my face, my throat. Something blonde and incredibly swift slammed into me with the force of a rushing bull, throwing me off my feet and into the van. I spun around onto my elbows to see the vampire Kyle Hamilton coming for me, his eyes black and empty, his face screwed up into a grimace of hunger. He still wore his tennis whites. I kicked at his chest, and superhuman strength or no, it lifted him off the ground for a second, brought me a half breath of life. I lifted my right hand, the silver ring there gleaming, and cried, "Asantius!" The energy stored in the ring, all kinetic stuff that it saved back a little every time I moved my arm, unloaded in a flood, right in the vampire's face, an unseen fury of motion. The raw force split his lips, but no blood flowed out. It dug into the corners of his eyes and tore the skin away, but there was still no blood. It ripped the skin from his cheekbones, all rubbery black beneath the Anglo-Saxon pink, strips of flesh flapping back in a wave of force like flags in a high wind. The vampire's body flew back and up. It thudded hard against the ceiling and then fell to the floor with a thump. I struggled out of the van, my chest aching with a dull sort of pain. I left the doctor's bag behind, shook out the shield bracelet, and extended my left arm in front of me. Kyle stirred for a moment, then flung himself onto all fours, his body weirdly contorted, shoulders standing up too much, his back bent at a crooked angle, shreds of flesh dangled from his face, slick-looking, rubbery black beneath them. His eyes also had the skin torn away from them like pieces of a rubber mask, and bulged out black and huge and inhuman. His jaws parted, showing dripping fangs, saliva pattering to the damp floor. "You," the vampire hissed, his voice calm, normal, disconcerting.
"Oh, that was original," I muttered, drawing in my will. "Yeah, me. What the hell are you doing here? And where do you think you're going with Lydia?"
His inhuman expression flickered.
"Who?"
My chest panged, hard, sharp, hot, as if something was broken badly. I remained standing, though, not letting him see weakness.
"Lydia, Bad dye job, sunken eyes, in your van, wearing my talisman on her wrist.
He hissed out a dripping runnel of laughter.
Isn't that what she told you her name was? You've been used, Dresden.
I got a shivery feeling again, and narrowed my eyes. I didn't have any warning but instinct to make me throw myself to one side in an abrupt leap. The vampire's sister, Kelly, as blonde and pretty as he had been a moment before, landed in the space I had occupied. She too dropped to her knees with a drooling hiss, fangs showing, eyes bulging. She wore a white cat suit, clinging tight to her curves, along with white boots and gloves, and a short white cape with a deep hood. Her clothing was smudged, imperfect, spotted with flecks of scarlet, and her blonde hair in disarray. Blood stained her mouth like smeared lipstick, or a child with a big cup of juice. A blood mustache, hell's bells. I kept my blasting rod trained on Kelly, my left hand thrust out before me.
So, you two are putting the snatch on Lydia, huh? Why?
Let me kill him, moaned the female, her eyes all black, empty and hungry.
Kyle, I'm hungry.
So sue me, I weird out when someone starts talking about eating me. I swung the blasting rod right at Kelly's face and started sending power into it, setting the tip to glowing. Yeah, Kyle, I said. Let her try.
Kyle rippled beneath his skin, and it was enough to make my stomach turn. Something like that just ain't right, even when you know what's underneath.
This affair is none of yours, wizard.
The girl is under my protection, I said. You two clear out, now, and I won't have to get rough with you.
That will not happen, Kyle said, his voice deadly quiet.
Kyle,
the female moaned again. More drool slithered out of her mouth, dripping to the floor. She started shaking, quivering, as if she were about to fly apart, or at me. My mouth went dry, and I got ready to blast her. I saw Kyle move out of the corner of my eye. I lifted my shield bracelet toward him, transferring my will to it, but in time only to partially deflect the broken chip of concrete he had threw at my head. It slammed against my temple and sent me spinning. I saw Kelly blur toward me, white cape flying, and I lifted my blasting rod toward her, shouting, Fuego! Fire slammed out the end of the rod, missing Kelly by at least a foot, but still hot enough to set the hem of her cloak ablaze. The flame slewed in an arc across the ceiling and down the wall as it started falling, cutting through wood and brick and stone like an enormous arc welder. She flung herself atop me, straddling my hips with her thighs, moaning in excitement. I thrust the blasting rod toward her, but she batted it aside, laughing in a wild, hysterical tone, throwing her smoldering cloak off with the other hand. She plunged toward my throat, but I lifted my hands to catch at her mane of hair. I knew it was a futile gesture. She was just too damn strong. I wouldn't be able to hold her off of me for long, a few seconds at most. My heart pounded in my burning chest, and I struggled, gasping for air. And then droplets of her spittle fell onto my throat, my cheek, into my mouth. And none of it mattered anymore. It was a glorious sensation that spread over me. Warmth, security, peace. Ecstasy began at my skin and spread through me, easing all the horrid tension from my muscles. My fingers slackened in Kelly's lovely hair, and she purred, her hips writhing against mine. She lowered her mouth toward me, and I felt her breath on my skin, her breasts press against me through the thin material of her bodysuit. Something, some nagging thought, bothered me for a moment. Perhaps it was something about the perfect, lightless depths of her eyes, or the way her fangs rubbed against my throat, no matter how good it felt. But then I felt her lips on my skin, felt her draw in her breath in shivering anticipation, and it stopped mattering. I just wanted more. Then there was a roaring sound, and I dimly perceived the west wall of the building collapsing, falling away in great flaming sections of wood and brick. The blast I had sent spewing at Kelly had sliced through the ceiling, walls, and support beams. It must have weakened the structure of the entire building, as it had. Oops. Sunlight flooded in through the falling bricks and clouds of dust. The last rays of daylight, warm and golden on my face, painfully bright in my eyes. Kelly screamed, and wherever her skin wasn't covered by cloth, from her chin up, mostly, she burst into flame. The light hit her like a physical blow, hurling her away from me, and I became aware of a dull pain, uncomfortable heat on my cheek, my throat, where her saliva had coated my skin. Everything was light and heat and pain for a few moments, and someone was screaming. I struggled up a moment later, peering around the inside of the building. Fire spread, a dull chewing sound on the floors above me, and through the missing section of wall I could hear sirens in the distance. There were smears of something black and greasy on the floor, leading to the white van. The sunlight barely touched the back window of the vehicle. The side door stood wide open, and Kyle, his face still hanging in ragged strips, hauled something grotesque. His sister, her true form no longer shrouded by its mask of flesh. The vampire girl made keening sounds of agony while her brother pitched her into the back of the van. He slammed the door shut, a snarl rippling his split lips. He took a step toward me, then clenched his jaws in frustration, stopped just short of the sunlight.
"Wizard," he hissed, "you'll pay. I'll make you pay for this."
Then he spun back to the van with its dark tinted windows and leapt in. A moment later, the engine roared to life, and the van sped toward the garage doors, plowing through one of them, sending shards of wood flying, jounced into the street, and vanished from sight, engine roaring. I remained in place, stunned, burnt, hurting, my brain clouded. I stumbled to my feet and staggered toward the hole in the wall and out into the fading sunlight. Sirens got closer. "Damn," I mumbled, looking back at the spreading fires. "I'm kind of hard on buildings." I shook my head, trying to clear my thoughts. Dark. It was getting dark. Had to get home. Vampires could come out after dark. Home, I thought, home. I started stumbling back toward the Beetle. Behind me, as I did, the sun sank behind the horizon, freeing all the things that go bump in the night to come out and play.